You're listening to episode 118 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, December 28th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome to the final episode this year of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. I'm Derek, and joining me today are my fellow hosts, Matthew.
Hey.
And Jeremy.
Now I read you.
I love our end of the year episodes so much because, as regular listeners of the show will know, it's time once again for us to present the Chatties, which are our made-up awards that are presented to the best and worst moments at Walt Disney World over the past 365 days. But before we get to that, before we find out who the big winners are and who will be going home empty-handed, we thought we'd take a bit of time to look back at some of the more interesting moments 2016 gave us. Now, some of these were news items we briefly discussed on the podcast, and some are things we just never really mentioned, but we didn't want the year to end without us acknowledging the moments that had Disney fans all abuzz. So we now present 2016, the year that was.
Remember the night.
The year that a waffle sent Disney Twitter on an emotional roller coaster. And of course, we're talking about the sweet and savory chicken waffle sandwich at Sleepy Hollow that was removed from the menu back in, I don't know, some month, and then returned in October. And both times, Disney fans lost their minds on Twitter.
Did they? Well, Disney fans named Derek.
That's what I was going to say.
That is not true.
I mean, did it really happen? Because I don't follow a lot of this stuff on the Twitters. It really did.
It really did.
I thought that was just like your little thing.
No, and I've said on the show, I'm not even that big of a fan of that sandwich.
Right.
I just like the idea of unique things being there.
Huh. I think people just, they don't like to be surprised by Disney. Especially for things that they enjoy. And so when all of a sudden one day your waffle sandwich, even though it may not be your favorite thing, it's something you enjoy, when it just suddenly disappears, that's a little jarring to people.
2016 just took too much.
It did. I would like to think that perhaps most of Disney Twitter is like a child with Asperger's. Like, if you're going to have a change, you got to let them know in advance and break it to them subtly.
Yeah, we're going to give you a week with the waffle will be on and off the menu at different times. Come by and look at the menu. If it's there, be happy. If it's not, you know, learn to cope, because in a week it will be gone completely.
I would argue they need more than a week. They need lots of time to go through the five stages of grief.
How long was it gone?
I'd say 4 or 5 months. It was almost all summer. And then in October, it returned. And I'm telling you, because, and I know this, and I'm just going to say this now because this never happens to us, so I think we can brag a little bit. We totally broke that news on the internet, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of internet traffic. People were very excited to see that it was back. More excited than I was.
They were. In fact, some of the other news outlets were even ripping off the story as if they broke it. But we had it first, folks.
That's right. Always remember.
Not that we're bitter or anything, but... okay, I'll go next. 2016, what a year it was. It was the year that purple was the new gray. Is this like the sequel on Netflix? Did I miss that?
Yeah. It's about a men's prison. They wear purple jumpsuits.
It was like a geriatric prison.
No, purple was all the rage this year, and I appreciate that because purple is my favorite color. First big breaking purple news was there was purple magic bands, and everybody rejoiced about that. Well, to me, the purple magic bands was my Derek Waffle. That's the comparison that I will throw out there. And then the other big purple triumph was purple rocks in Tomorrowland.
Yeah. Derek Waffle, that sounds grody.
I meant Derek's love of a waffle, Derek not waffle. Derek's.
I think it sounds delicious. But yeah, purple magic bands, again, something else that Disney Twitter exploded about. Because, you know, they offer like the standard colors for free when you book a vacation package. And people were always complaining that purple wasn't one of the options. Like, I saw tweets where people had made their own, you know, like they'd painted a magic band to make it purple. And then when Disney finally said, hey, purple's an option, you would have thought they were like handing out free money or something.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme to paint your magic band.
Yeah, Disney's doing these things just to get attention. Hey, what's one little niche food item the little fanboys will love, and let's take it away and then bring it back? Let's give them gray for like 5 years so that when there's other colors, they think it's spectacular.
I don't know. That's a long, game.
Well, so are the add-on experiences, but we'll get that later. 2016, the year that It's a Small World got personal. Small World's getting all up in your business. Now, this has to just do with the story maker additions to the finale of Small World and Haunted Mansion, too, and other places. Rock and Roller Coaster, Expedition Everest. We've talked about all these. Where little signs and little things in the finale, Small World in particular, it was little signs that say goodbye in different languages, would, I guess, read the RFID signal from people's bands and put their names up there, like bye-bye Alice or bye-bye Tank or something like that.
Tank.
Bye, Tank. I was mixed on this. It was cool at Expedition Everest. That's the only one I liked.
Yeah.
Because of the theming that went into it. We've talked about it with the little gnats flying around and stuff, and it would look like it belonged there. So I admit, I never saw the Small World when actually working, but it when I saw it not working, it looked like TV screens stuck inside the flowers, so I really wasn't appreciative much of it.
It hasn't worked the last two times I've gone. Like, it's shown the same names for 2 or 3 minutes at a time.
Tank,
exactly.
Maybe it's just me. I don't feel like this excites people. Like, I don't feel like this is something that people... I think it's one of those things that Disney thinks is really cool, but nobody really cares about. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't... It doesn't do anything for me.
No, I'd agree with that. Even in Expedition Everest, when we were looking at our names, and it was like, oh, cool. No one around us was trying to find their name. You know, they were like, oh, what are those idiots looking at?
You know, when E.T. did this 30 years ago, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Derek.
Yeah.
Francis.
Was I with you all when I did the names, when I made up my name?
We all did. We all made up our name, remember?
What did I say?
Francis. That's why I just made that.
Oh, yes, okay. Francis.
I about peed myself because I was like, out of all the names you could have come up with, Francis.
Francis. Goodbye, Francis.
All right, 2016 was also the year that even Joe Rohde couldn't make a Guardians of the Galaxy. Excuse me. Let me say that again.
Very country there all of a sudden.
The year that even Joe Rohde couldn't make a Guardians of the Galaxy overlay sound exciting. Did you guys see that video when he talked about it?
No.
Oh, man, it was great. Because, first of all, this Guardians of the Galaxy overlay over at Disney California Adventure was like, what are they doing? And so they had, you know, the Imagineer of Imagineers come and talk about it. And it was maybe a minute long. And the whole time he's like, and it's going to be exciting. And
hilarious.
Yeah.
That was the word they used in the blog.
Hysterical. And it was like, no, Jerry, I still don't believe it. If you can't sell it, no one can. I think he was like, Disney is forcing me to do an overlay using Marvel characters, and it's not my choice.
He probably had nothing to do with it. He just, hey, bring that guy over here and let him talk about it.
They're like, people like Joe Rohde, and even if they don't, they'll be distracted by his jingling earring.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit for a few seconds, but then I shook out of it.
We need to have a goal for 2017, and that is to get Joe Rohde on this podcast.
Mm. You know, Matt and I could have met him that day.
You could have. You probably missed our opportunity. I even remember that time, Matt, we flew to Animal Kingdom Lodge because we thought Joe Rohde was there.
Yeah. We stalked him.
Yeah.
Like lions on the hunt.
I even lied to the host at GECO. I was like, I'm just looking around. And he's
just
like, yeah,
looking around.
I guess I wasn't lying. I was looking around for Joe Rohde.
I wasn't lying.
Ah. 2016. The year that Disney Parks tried to make. Now, is this Alania?
No.
Just that's, Elena.
That's how much they failed at this.
Yes.
It's Elena.
Is this an N-A or N-Y-A?
Oh, it's really just Elena?
Yeah.
Elena.
I thought she was Hispanic.
She is.
Oh. But the E sound, that the E in Spanish is pronounced as a long A. Elena. Yeah.
That is it? It is. It's Elena.
Elena.
You just told me it was Elena.
No, one said that.
Nobody said Elena.
So it is Elena.
Yeah, but it's not Elania.
What you have said was Elania.
Oh, did I? My bad. Disney
Avalor.
Disney Parks tried to make Elena of Avalor happen. And Derek, I believe you were there for this happening.
No. I wasn't there for her debut. But she still has a stage show.
It happened.
Yeah, and she like fake plays the guitar. And now she's in the Princess Fairy Tale Hall. And I'm like, who is Elena? Who is this person?
Where is this stage show at?
On the stage.
But I mean, in front of the castle?
Yeah. It's like in between Royal Friendship Fair. She may only do it once a day, but she goes up and they have a little ceremony for her.
Okay.
I don't know who this chick is. Isn't she like... someone told me.
It's a Disney Junior show.
I know, but it's like a spinoff of Sophia the First. It's something like Sophia the First has a little necklace with Elena in it.
Sophia has a little crystal that allows her to talk to animals, and it's the crystal of Avalor.
That's a mess. So she's a made-up person in Sophia the First's mind?
Yeah. No, she's a real person. Like, it's a real kingdom in that little universe that happens to be somehow Hispanic.
All right, well.
And they celebrate Navidad, and I've just listened to that all week.
Listen, I'm all about Disney Junior doing... fresh new content, more power to him. Just why we got to have it in the parks, or at least put it in Hollywood Studios where the other Disney Junior stuff is.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and where nothing else is.
There you go. So there's plenty of opportunity. Yeah, I remember them talking about her playing her guitar and how horrible it was, and
because she strummed a couple times and then didn't strum the entire rest of the song, even though the guitar was still clearly playing.
Well, in a kingdom where you can talk to animals,
it's true.
You probably also can have magical guitars that strum themselves.
Wow, I've never thought of that. You completely changed my perspective on Elania.
There you go, Elania.
2016 was also the year that Mickey and Minnie got facelifts, and by this we mean the characters at the parks. Getting a little fresh look. Now, this originated in Shanghai, right?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Where we first kind of saw it, and people were like, hey, that's a little different. They're just a little skinnier faces, a little more cartoony looking. It's one of those things, we talked about it on the show, it's hard to describe when you see it, you're like, hey, that's different. a little darker complected.
I do hate that they're in the parade, the Christmas parade, and they're on the stage, but you can't meet him yet. Like, it's still old Mickey, old talking Mickey in Town Square Theater.
Old talking, he's so old already.
I should say that the next time I meet him. Be like,
hey, old talking Mickey.
You're the old one.
I like the new Mickey. I think it's good to have a facelift every few years.
I agree.
I think we generally were spoke favorably about it because they looked more accurate to the animation.
Mm-hmm. 2016, the year that Shanghai got blamed for everything.
Hashtag and all.
Yes, yes. Hashtag thanks hot. Excuse me. Thanks Shanghai started trending on Twitter because, you know, it opened back in June and it had a lot of problems. Like, things weren't open in time and it was just very costly and tickets sold out that first day really, really quickly. But then there was confusion because then later on you could buy tickets. It was just all a mess. And a lot of things stateside started closing. They laid off a few employees or they would cut hours and stuff like that. And a lot of people said it was because of all the money that was piped into Shanghai Disneyland. So that's why thanks Shanghai became a thing. So probably not quite the grand opening that Disney had hoped for.
Have any of their parks been?
Yeah, seriously. That's a good question.
I mean, Disneyland itself was a hot mess when it opened. Literally a hot mess. It's just one of those things. It's hard to get things together when you don't know what to expect.
Yep.
2016, the year that Disney's Hollywood Studios became everybody's favorite joke. And what a joke it became. Simply because they just kept closing and closing and closing and closing. And then, you know, the more they closed, the more you realized how big of a joke the park was before all this stuff was still open, you know? So it just kind of became a joke within a joke about how there's nothing to do there. And yeah.
I mean, we just made a joke about it like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well, these new aerial photographs, have you seen those of the leveled areas? I mean, nothing's left.
I know, it's crazy.
But like 3/4 of the park that once existed is gone. Not closed, but just gone.
It's gone. Dirt. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, though. I remember, if there's one thing I remember from AP World History, it's that back when men, I think I wrote an essay about this, and they burned things down, and when they burned things down, it made the land more fertile. Hmm. That's what's going on here. Yeah, when the cavemen or what have you, whatever they were, they used to burn old plots of forest down and make the land fertile. That's what's going on here. We're tearing down for the future.
Some growing pains.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron and I were just talking today about how New Year's Eve there, you know it's going to be crazy packed. And there are going to be some people who will have paid over $100 to get in that day. Because that's what you do. You know, you go to Disney on New Year's Eve. And then those are the people who go home and say, oh, Disney's so overrated. Don't waste your money. You know, because it's going to be packed. There's going to be nothing to do.
Yeah.
That's fine. We don't need those kind of people in our parks anyways.
That's true, yeah.
That's right. Go on home.
And hey, maybe in 2 years we'll be singing a very different tune about this park.
We'll be singing a John Williams tune. John Williams and Randy Newman.
There you go.
And within that same park, 2016 was also the year that we act like this is a one-time occurrence. It's also the year that Steven Tyler got censored. We should say Steven Tyler got censored in a Disney park. And this was his so obscene, it's been there for 20 years without anybody caring, obscene hand gesture in the pre-show Rock and Roller Coaster that has been suddenly causing shock. Getting in people's safe spaces, I guess. And they dubbed over, superimposed another hand that's just kind of flat.
Yeah, weirdest change ever.
You know, just another sign of Trump's America. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if that's Trump's America.
It is, because he couldn't handle it. He probably whined on Twitter about how Steven Tyler offended him, and there it was. Terrible guy, that Steven Tyler. Never liked Aerosmith. You never liked dudes that look like
I would players. Imagine Donald Trump would appreciate the shocker hand
You're
gesture.
Probably right about that. You're right. He probably wants to take it a step further.
It did seem very trivial to, like you said, after 20 years, make that change.
Well, I just wonder how this complaint got to the top of the list. Like, yes, that one. Let's do that. Let's fix that one.
Never mind the fact that there's a kid literally choking his chicken in Small World, but we got to get rid of the shocker.
Yes. This is so true.
2016, the year that Epcot realized Canada isn't all that entertaining after all. And of course, to all of our Canadian listeners, we love you, but they cannot figure out what dang streetmosphere they're going to have in Canada. It changed every month, it felt like.
It felt like it changed every month simply because when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, your options are not as entertaining as probably what you think and hope. I mean, lumberjacks that run on logs and water and wear paper bags on their heads. I mean,
that was
really?
Two different shows.
Yeah, I know. They did the one show and then they went to the other show and then they... What are they doing now? Anything?
Yeah, they're back to a band that they had this summer.
I don't know. Nobody cares. Since it's not off kilter, they might as well just tear that down and build another Frozen expansion over there.
It's just funny, though, because those ideas, even on paper, sound stupid. Like, let's have lumberjacks cut wood in front of everybody. It's like...
It was just terrible. That was a terrible show. That was an awful idea.
Yeah, I don't get it.
2016, the year that the World Showcase blurred the lines between real and fictional. And, of course, we're referring to the invasion of Frozen in Norway. Are we in Norway? Are we in Arendelle? Are we in some magical world in between? I don't know.
Wow. This is dramatic. When we met Queen Elsa the day that it opened, I said, Arendelle's so pretty. And immediately, all of her training kicked in. And she said, this is not Arendelle. This is Norway. But you can see Arendelle through my window.
I know. Yeah, it's like it's right there. We're clearly in Arendelle.
But then, cast members later on, were calling it Arendelle. So it's like, make up your mind.
Maybe it's like this weird mix of like a real life Enchanted, where are we in the cartoon world? Are we not? Are we cartoons in the real world? Or are we the real world in the cartoon?
It's Frozen Land. I mean, you ride the ride, you're in Arendelle.
Well, the thing about all of this is it's also opening the door for other things like this to happen. You know, like when we say it blurred the lines between fictional and reality.
It's a gateway drug.
That's exactly what I meant. But, you know, like adding something as huge as an overlaid attraction and a meet and greet into a pavilion in World Showcase, like this just opens the door for all sorts of other franchises to make their way inside.
Shenanigans.
That's a great word for it, too.
In 2016... Well, no. 2016 was the year that we all played. And by we all, we mean Eric again. Will they or won't they with Rivers of Light? And I jest. Of course, the whole Disney fan community was looking forward to what this show would bring. But Derek was in our own circle, and he was... planning a special trip, hoping to see Rivers of Light.
Now, hold on. I didn't plan a special trip.
I didn't say that.
You literally said the words, plan a special trip.
You planned a special trip.
Every trip.
Hoping to see Rivers of Light.
Well, my first trip I planned, and then they announced, hey, Rivers of Light is going to open on such and such date. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be there. That's awesome. And then
that's what I said.
Then I planned four more trips after that, not really expecting it to be open.
You planned a special trip to Disney, and on one special trip, you were hoping to see Rivers of Light.
That's true. Well, technically on all five trips, I was hoping to see it, and it never happened.
So one could argue that you planned all these trips to see Rivers of Light.
You could argue that incorrectly. I would just like to say that it has now been 8 months since it was supposed to have debuted. And there's still no word.
When is it supposed to be coming? We just hear 2017, right?
Yeah, that's all it said.
Huh. Well, I feel like, on that note, Rivers of Light is one of those things where, okay, we got something to do at night. And even though they weren't going forward with Rivers of Light, they still went ahead with, hey, we're going to open Animal Kingdom really late. And they brought all those new experiences like the safari and the street parties and the projection show on the Tree of Life. And then they did the Jungle Book ad hoc, not quite Rivers of Light, water show with music and stuff. And it kind of flopped on them. So I hope that they don't go into round two and it flops as well because they didn't get it up the first time.
Yeah, it flopped, but I wonder if Rivers of Light will change that. Maybe not, but I wonder if they were like, well, without Rivers of Light, what's the point? Because that was kind of the main thing.
I hope it's not one of those things that Disney thinks people will really love because of how pretty and technologically advanced it is, but nobody really likes it. I hope people really do like it.
On a more serious note, 2016, let us not forget, was also the year that Seven Seas Lagoon became a scene from a nightmare. And of course, we're talking about when the child was attacked by an alligator, and they found his body later on. Very tragic scene, made national news. It just kind of created a heavy scene for all of Orlando that day. And I think it's important to talk about not only because it was one of the bigger events that happened this year, but it also changed a lot of things for the future. Like Seven Seas Lagoon now has a netted fence all the way around it, and it has rocks leading all the way to the shore, and they've quadrupled the number of signs that say, you know, don't get in the water, beware of alligators, things like that. For a while there, they were taking alligators out of attractions because of the sensitive nature of them. Like, yeah. I remember Royal Friendship Fair debuted without Lewis the alligator because they didn't know how people would react to that. And I thought maybe that was taking it a bit too far.
What do you do that moment? Did they cover up the crocodile in Peter Pan?
No, they didn't do that. I think they took him out of Festival of Fantasy, though. The giant crocodile that wheels down the street.
I know they took him out of the Jungle Cruise. I wonder if they like kept him away at Animal Kingdom.
I think they took it out of Living with the Land. Isn't there one in Living with the Land?
In the rainforest section there is, yeah.
So it was just kind of funny the steps they took to act like alligators don't exist.
Erased. It's like the Men in Black thing. They just... Shoom.
Yeah.
There it goes.
Well, and let us not forget, too, that this happened, what, like a week or two after the Pulse shooting as well. So Orlando
day
was
after,
really...
Right?
Day after. Thereabout, yeah, something
it,
like
I
that.
Think it was the same week, yeah.
Orlando was in a very fragile state for a while there this summer, so it was definitely a very tragic summer, to say the least. Mm-hmm. All right, 2016, the year that we found out how limber Dopey really is. This is, of course, referring to a video that was posted online and went viral of the end of Fantasmic, in which all the characters are on the steamboat and they come out and they're waving their little flags and they're waving to the crowd and everybody's happy because Mickey has been victorious over evil. And yeah. As they're marching around to get into their places, Dopey is just marching with all the pride and gusto that he has. And his foot slipped and he went from the second floor of the boat to right down to the first floor, and he fell. Which character did he fall on top of? Goofy. Yeah, again, amazingly, we laugh about it because no one was hurt as far as we know.
Are you okay?
could have been tragic, but we're thankful that Dopey and his friend, the friend of Dopey, was safe in that fall, but it was still funny to watch.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I saw it.
And it was Dopey of all people.
Yeah, it's like totally in character. If my iPhone showed me like the 10 links I clicked on the most this year, that one would be number one because I watched that video so many times and never got tired of it. And now that we're talking about it, I'm like, I haven't seen that in a while. I need to go watch that again. Oh, man. It was terrific.
2016 was the year that Hurricane Matthew reminded us how sad boxed lunches can be. Hurricane Matthew, it's kind of a mixed bag, or mixed box, I should say. Because it was so threatening to Central Florida. I mean, even where I was, it was supposed to hit as like a Category 3. I don't remember. I mean, we were getting sandbags and people were, you know, hunkering down, but they're used to it here, so it wasn't like a big deal. All the parks, Disney Park, closed that Thursday or Friday. It was supposed to be rolling through. Schools were closed. And it just didn't do that much here. I mean, it was, like I said, it was calmer than it was for, calmer than most thunderstorms in the summertime. Now, understandably, it hit terribly in Haiti and on the coast of Florida, but we just didn't get all that here. But our friends David and Katie, who were stuck there for a little while in all of that, got to participate in these box lunches. How much did they say they charge for those box lunches?
$12, if I remember right.
That's terrible. Did Disney end up doing something? They like rectify all that?
Some people reported that they asked for a refund and Disney gave it to them because some of the resorts were reportedly giving the boxed lunches away for free. And people who paid $12 were not very happy to hear that, understandably.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely Hurricane Matthew was a huge news event this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, when was the last time Disney closed for a hurricane? Like a decade ago or something.
It's 12 years ago. 2004,
yeah.
I think.
2004 was the last time that a really bad hurricane knocked Florida out.
Charlie?
For a while. Something like that. Yeah, I remember.
We had three of them that crisscrossed Central Florida, they tell
all
me.
Within a few weeks, yeah. I remember that. And I remember where I used to live in North Florida, they told me they were without power for like a month. And I'm like, that sounds miserable. If that happens when I live there, I'd be flying out and saying, call me when you all get it together.
Well, 2016, finally, was also the year that the Mad Chatters turned 100 episodes old.
Yay!
Such a fun episode to record. We talked about our first trip as a trio to Walt Disney World, and we mixed in a lot of other trips on accident trying to remember what the heck we did 10 years ago. Of course, we also had some listeners come on, like Matt and Emily and Kelly and Alice. It was fun getting to play some games with them, and that was a fun episode. I enjoyed it.
It helped me to realize just how much our Mad Chatters family has grown over these last 100 plus episodes, that we have all these new friends that we've really made because of it. And it's really kind of cool to see what this little podcast has grown into.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say something, Matt.
I was. I feel 100 episodes old. We're 118 episodes old.
Yeah. You feel it?
I feel it in my joints.
I don't feel an episode over 60.
Annual Chatties! And now, here's your host for the evening, Mad Chatter Derek, Mad Chatter Matthew, and Mad Chatter Jeremy!
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you all for joining us for another year-end wrap-up here at the Chatties. It's always a privilege to come to you all here from the Mad Chatter Studios with a live studio audience. Here we go. And everybody looks so wonderful in their tuxes and their evening wear. What are you wearing this evening, Derek?
I've got my gym shorts and my plain white t-shirt.
All right, good. Only the
best. I'm wearing General So's.
Is that what you spilled on your shirt?
No, I was just thinking of a Chinese name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant too. I mean, I didn't mention that my shorts are, I can't think of one designer's name, Tom Ford.
Tommy Bahama.
And my t-shirt is Tommy Bahama.
All right.
All right. Anyways, well, we're excited to get the night started as we honor the best and the worst of 2016 within the Disney universe. And here to present our first award is Mad Chatter Matt.
2016 was a year of losses, a year of takeaways, a year of a death. But at Walt Disney World, there were also some wonderful additions. And so our first category this evening, category? Is that the thing?
I think so, yeah.
Our first category on the Chatties tonight will be the best addition to Walt Disney World. The best addition to Walt Disney World. And I'd like to be the first to give mine because I don't want it to be taken. And that is Disney Springs Town Center. I have been several times, and I guess the reason I'm going to give this to Town Center is because of the negative press it was kind of getting when it opened. And I have to admit, just seeing the pictures of it, I thought, well, that looks like an outlet. And it's kind of ho-hum, kind of just looks like an Orlando Outlet Center. But when I went there, my first experience was getting off of the Lime Garage elevator and going down the escalator. And it was beautiful. All the chandeliers and the architecture and the little porches and the woodwork and the fountains. I thought it was wonderful. Now, I don't know what I think about any of the stores. I don't know if they'll last. I don't know if that whole concept will last, but it is a pretty place. And having eaten there a few times at Deluxe Burger and Cocina, what is it? Frontera Cocina?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we ate? Deluxe Burger, especially sitting out on the porch, actually over the springs, overlooking the springs. I love that whole area. And so I'm glad it's there. Good job, Walt Disney World.
Oh, well, you mentioned it, but I think you can include the garage because weren't those all new this year? Maybe not. The parking garages.
I feel like Orange has been there for a while. Lime opened, yeah, with Town Center.
But that's a huge addition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like it being a good thing, not size.
Yes.
But good word, good word. I would like to present my chatty as best addition to Walt Disney World to The Muppets Present Great Moments in American History, because this show is so good and it is so refreshing to see Liberty Square just packed every time a new show starts. Worth stopping to watch. Because it's funny, it's Muppety.
Muppety.
I have nothing bad to say about this thing. It's wonderful.
Derek, is it Muppetier than the Muppet Tree and on the Christmas Tree Trail?
Ooh, that's a tough call.
Because if it doesn't have Sharpie Fozzies, then I'm not watching it.
Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Matt, you have to make it go out of your way.
I haven't even been to Magic Kingdom since then, but I will. I promise.
Wow. It's terrific.
Well, I was going to present my golden teacup to Great Moments with the Muppets as well. But since that's already taken, I'm going to go to my plan B. And I'm going to give my chatty for best addition to Frozen Ever After. Mm. This attraction, none of us were really excited about it when it was first announced. But any time that you can put a new dark ride that is well done, which apparently I haven't seen it in person yet, but through the videos and through the feedback, it appears to be well done. I think that's always a good thing for Disney parks as a whole. Mm-hmm. So congratulations, Frozen Ever After.
Is that what we give, golden teacups? Is that our thing?
That's what I'm picturing the award looking like, yeah.
I like that. We need to make one.
We totally should.
I'll burn all my earrings and bracelets. Huh. That's what we should have Joe Rohde do when he comes on our show. Donate all of his earrings to make a golden teacup.
Okay. We'll get on that.
Next category this evening. Makes sense. Worst addition to Walt Disney World. Jeremy, since your answer was taken, why don't you start this one?
The worst thing that Disney added this year is all the extra ticketed events. Whether it's the $150 to get in early, or the $50 to watch from the boat, or the you name it. All these different random ticketed events and extra parties or whatever, dessert gatherings, whatever they are. It's out of control and it's ridiculous and it has to be stopped.
It is not going to stop anytime soon.
It can stop if we all agree as a community to not do it. When I was in high school, I worked for a convenience store called Quick Trip. Maybe you're familiar with it. And Quick Trip is open 24/7. 365. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas. It doesn't matter if there's 8 feet of snow. It doesn't matter. Quick Trip is open. And you know why Quick Trip is open all the time? Because people come. And it always used to tick me off when I would have to work on Christmas Day or Easter or whatever. And the first thing a customer does when they walk in the door is go, "I can't believe you all are open today." And I swear to you, because I didn't care if they fired me, I would say, "We wouldn't be if people like you wouldn't show up."
Nice.
That's great.
So if we all don't go to these things, Disney will stop charging for them because it's not making them any money.
Well, you know, the three of us all agree on that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to spread them.
But speaking of utopian naivete, my worst addition to Walt Disney World.
Addition.
Listen, if this were an audition, I would not only kick them off the stage, I would take an incinerator to them. And it is the Tomorrowland Tent Village.
Mm-hmm.
Tent Village. You know, Goblet of Fire, the movie, the first scene on there? And when they're all watching the Quidditch World Cup or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they go and the Death Eaters attack the big old Tent Village. That's what I would do to that place.
That's very dark.
It's very drastic, but I'll allow it.
Oh, hands down, the worst edition. Because, again, like we talked about with World Showcase and Frozen, I hope this is not opening a door to bring more tents to more parks.
Cabana. I think cabanas is what they chose to call cabanas.
Excuse me, cabanas, yes. When you, like, I'm just kind of used to it now. Like, it's had enough time to sink in. But when I really think about it, like, they added tents to a Walt Disney theme park. The most popular theme park in the world now has ugly white tents in it. Like, what are you doing?
And charged more for it to stay in the day than the deluxe resort charges for a night.
That's true. That's insane. Ugh. Well, those are both great answers. So great, in fact, that they were both of mine. I thought of another one that may not be the worst, but it is very lame, especially when you compare it to what they promised. Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away, is the stage show in Hollywood Studios that happens like 5 times a day. First of all, you know, everyone was so excited when they removed the hat and there was a clear view of the Chinese theater. Well, now that's gone once again because the stage sits there and there's a big backdrop to it that says Star Wars.
Oh, but it goes up and down.
Yeah, but the stage is still there. And it's up quite a bit, like a pretty big percentage of the day. And what happens, it's basically like a Star Wars fashion show. Like one at a time, characters come out and do like one little thing and then they show clips from the film. And it's so lame. And if it's hot that day, like, you just have to stand there in the sun.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt like it could have been a lot better than it was/is, because they still do it every day.
if the Yeti is in B mode, Hollywood Studios is in like P mode. They're just running all the plays. Is that a football thing? They're running all the crazy. They're doing the Hail Mary.
Yes. And now we're going to move on to our next one, which is biggest surprise of 2016. I'm going to go first because I don't want anybody to steal my answer because I don't have a backup. My biggest surprise of 2016 was the addition of Pizza Rizzo. And the reason why it was a surprise to me was not so much the restaurant itself, but a, more of a surprise that the Muppets will be maintaining a presence in Disney Hollywood Studios. I think that with the demolition of much of that back area of the park, the Streets of America, the Backlot Tour, all that, a lot of us feared that the Muppets were going to be just part of the carnage. But with the addition of Pizza Rizzo, it kind of solidified their spot there in New Hollywood Studios and that their presence is going to remain. And that makes me happy.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a good one. I kind of remember the sentiments on Twitter and our own sentiments that day were, no way, there's a Muppet restaurant. That name sucks. But hey, there's a Muppet restaurant. That's cool.
What is that? My biggest surprise is the Starbright Holiday Show, the drone show at Disney Springs. I'm just giving some love to Disney Springs tonight.
Yeah, you are.
And I guess in both cases, the best addition and this biggest surprise, the biggest surprise is not that they did it. The biggest surprise is that I liked it and that it was a quality. I was looking at the videos, you know, and the little teaser videos they were showing. I thought they play music while they make one picture, and it's like a floating kind of happens every 10 minutes or so thing. It's like, oh, look at that, you know. But it's not that. It's very well synchronized, and it's big, and it's bright, and it's festive, and almost moving in an emotional sense, not in that they're drones. But it's just surprising how much I enjoyed it and how much I went back and made sure we saw that. Like, I want to go see that again.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mine's actually going to be Disneyland related. I'm so sorry. But we talked about this quite a bit on our show. The Guardians of the Galaxy overlay. I was shocked to find out that rumor was true. Because I remember when they first announced, or someone first posted the rumor. And on our show, we were like, no. That is so stupid. They are never going to do that.
It just seems so far-fetched. Like the rumor about Lord of the Rings in the parks and all that kind of thing. It always just seems so stupid. And so way out there, like, they would never do that. You're never going to touch the Tower of Terror. I mean, it's almost iconic. In fact, what was I watching? I was just watching something the other day. Oh, no. It was an interview with Viola Davis. And I guess she was on the Today Show or whatever. And she talked about how she was making the point about, I was feeling like it just was up and down, like I was on the Tower of Terror. And I was oh, hey, yeah, there's like a random thing. But I was like,
culture reference. There?
So, you know, people know the Tower of Terror, even there that aren't necessarily.
Apparently that's ours. Apparently that's Disney World's is that. There's the way you all described it. Theirs is not.
Well, I mean, it's subpar compared to Hollywood Studios, but it's still the Tower of Terror.
Sure.
But do Disneyland fans, are they the same way about the Tower of Terror as Disney World fans are?
I think people who don't get to go to Disney World are really happy that they have the Tower of Terror there, yeah. I mean, in their minds, they're not like, oh, let's just not even ride it because it's better across the country.
Well, you know how, like, Soarin is a big deal here and it's not there.
They still get like 30-minute waits.
Well, that so does Small World. So
yeah, that's true. I see your point. But still, it's just like they really are changing the Tower of Terror, and they're not tearing it down and building a new ride. They're overlaying it with a ride called Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout in all caps. Like, come on, Disney.
Well, even the Guardians of the Galaxy, that was it was a good movie. It made money. It's not these are not iconic characters. These are not characters that, that are burned into people's memories for generations. So, you know, the second movie could come out and flop. Then what are they going to do?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day after seeing Rogue One. It would not surprise me in the least that when they get done with this the trilogy, episodes 8 and 9, and finish all the little Star Wars stories in between that they have on the slot right now, just hear me out. It would not surprise me in the least that they go back and redo episodes 1, 2, and 3 in a completely different canonized Star Wars format.
I think...
the reason I say that is because... Sorry, that made no sense in context. The reason I say that is because thinking about, like, what they're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy, when they're going to get, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, they're going to stretch out that franchise as long as they possibly can, as long as it's making money. And that will coincide with that. And that led me to the thought that we don't have original ideas anymore. You know, those forever characters, we don't have that kind of thing anymore. There will never be another Star Wars legacy where people are still watching a 40-year-old movie 40 years later and loving it, because we just make them over again now.
Mm-hmm. There have been 3 Spider-Mans in our generation.
Yeah.
I think that if they remade those prequels, 85 to 90% of the Star Wars fan community would be totally fine with that.
Absolutely. I was thinking that.
I'm open to it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Derek, is the milk in your refrigerator good?
It's pretty good. Why?
Because you know how when milk reaches its expiration date, it starts to stink a little, and you don't want to drink it.
The only thing to do is toss it out.
Only thing to do is toss it out or make some cottage cheese. And wish I could say the same thing about these things that have reached their expiration date at Walt Disney World. But they just are sour.
It's true. I'm going to go first because I felt a little bit out of the box with this one. You know what? Okay, looking back, the first thing I picked 2 years ago is now gone. So, hey. But the one I picked last year is still there. And of course, I couldn't pick the same thing again. I actually am going with a restaurant this year. Spice Road Table is the most pointless restaurant that's ever been in World Showcase. That might be an exaggeration. But I walk by there and there is never anyone there. And it is such a prime location. It's like, think of something else to do with the space. It is not working.
You know, I have friends from here that have gone and really liked it. But looking at the menu and knowing that it's kind of like tapas, like little small plates, I could not justify going there for like dinner. Now, if I was like a bar person, like hang out around the bar, drink and eat some little small plates and hang out in the evening, that might be one thing, but I will probably never eat here unless they change the menu or something.
That's the thing. It's a small plates because I love that type of cuisine. But every time I think about getting small plates, I'm like, no thanks. So it's not the food. It's just that idea is not working and they need to try something else.
Okay, my pick for this is Tomorrowland as a whole. I was thinking about it. That, you know, Tomorrowland is a little bit outdated and in need of some love, especially when you consider Stitch, Monsters, Inc., Buzz Lightyear. Those are IPs that are not exactly fresh, nor are they timeless, as we've said before. And I know Tomorrowland's gotten a little bit of love this year with some fresh paint, but maybe once all this Star Wars land is done, once Future World and Epcot has been laid over, Tomorrowland, I think, is next.
I would say that those characters themselves are timeless. I'm not so much opposed to Buzz Lightyear, Mike Wazowski, and Stitch. I don't like them in their present format tomorrow. I don't even care if they're in Tomorrowland, to be honest with you. It's just the fact that their attractions there suck.
It's definitely time to make some cottage cheese over in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Don't throw Tomorrowland out, but
cottage cheese.
Mix it up. Cottage cheese it up.
Speaking of cottage cheese, my...
I'm very interested to know where you're going to go with this.
My award for the Reese's expiration date is wishes. This might have been mine last year.
Oh.
I love wishes, but I'm ready for something different. It's been so long. It's been 15 years. It's not that I don't like it. It's just time for something new and updated.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That Star Wars fireworks show before the projection thing, the one that we saw, Derek Symphony in the Stars, That one, with just the synchronization and the effects and everything they used in that show, set the bar pretty high for me, thinking about fireworks shows. And as good as Wishes is, and as synchronized as it is, it wasn't that good. I'm not saying that Star Wars fireworks show was better than Wishes. I'm saying that the effects and all the advances that were evident in that Star Wars show were better than Wishes.
Yeah. It just made it even more evident how outdated Wishes is.
Yes. And I will be harping on projections and water fountains and all that stuff to go with the fireworks until they finally just incorporate it all and give us a good nighttime show there at the Magic Kingdom.
It's always important at the end of every year to look back on those things that we did lose. It's time for the 2016 In Memoriam.
I will remember you. Will you remember me?
Don't let your... The Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights. Soarin' 1.0. Pizza Planet. Dream Along with Mickey. Lights, motors, action. Streets of America. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie set adventure. The Earful Tower. Studio Catering Company. The Writer's Stop. Margarita Kiosk. Downtown Disney. Fulton's Crab House. Disney Infinity. Disney Dollars. Main Street Electrical Parade. The Flag Wavers in Italy. And the Academy of Television Art and Sciences.
I would like to point out that we clapped for Lights, Motors, Action, which really we meant, I'm glad it's gone. But can you imagine if in real In Memoriam, if people were like, yes, finally.
Yes.
That guy's dead.
Oh, yeah. He made too many bad movies.
Our next category on this third annual Chatties is Best Announcement for the future. So these are things that Disney has teased us with or promised us, but will not happen until after 2016 is over. My answer is one that happens very, very soon, and there's still not a lot of details about it, but I'm excited for the potential of Festival of the Arts in Epcot. Now, we talked about maybe they've kind of oversaturated the whole festival field, but this is one where they've said live performers are going to be singing hit Broadway tunes, and they've kind of acted like they will be Broadway stars themselves, which, you know, we're fans of musicals, at least two-thirds of us are on this show, and I'd much rather see that than I would, you know, a band that was popular in the early 90s. And when I say popular, I use that term very loosely. So I'd rather see this than things like that. So I love that Epcot is doing this, and I have semi-high hopes for it.
My best announcement was it wasn't really an official announcement, but it was the tease we got that an overhaul of Epcot is coming. This is exciting for the future because, as we mentioned, particularly Future World needs a whole lot of loving. So we don't know anything of what that means, when it's coming, what it's going to look like. But I think we can all agree that there's very little they can do to hurt Future World in its present state. So it can only be beneficial.
Yeah, that was mine too. And I can't think of any others that I would be privy to give that award to. But I was really super excited about the possibility, which we all were. We just did a whole little segment on what we would do to Future World if we were changing it. So I'm interested to see how they're going to go with that, those changes as they start coming down the pike.
Well, why don't you kick off the next category then, since we took yours, and why don't you give your worst announcement for the future?
The worst announcement for the future award goes to a category that we have already visited tonight, and that is the add-on experiences. They have been added. They do already exist, but there are more that seem to be on the way. And so I'm just, like Jeremy ranted about earlier, I'm just done with those. I'm done hearing about them, and I'm tired of them making the news in Walt Disney World circles. So just, unless we can think of something imaginative that we can't do. Derek, I think after the last episode where we kind of ranted about these for a while, didn't you or Jeremy one remind us of the parking?
Yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about, like, we talked about hard ticket events, and I think the preferred parking totally falls in that category, because they are removing parking spots that always used to be available, and now they're saying, oh, if you want these, you have to pay $15 extra.
Yeah, quote-unquote preferred parking, as if they added something. No, it's just the front two, left and right, like the closest parking places to the park, so that even if you get there first in the morning, if you just go standard parking, you're going to get in that second slot of parking places, which is, you know, just further away from the entrance to Epcot or whatever you're going to. It's one of those things, you know, you're paying $15 extra to do what you could already do already. And, yeah, I'd say that's the worst announcement. The monorail food around the thing and all that stuff. It's a great description of it.
Food around the thing.
I think my worst announcement for this year, my chatty, goes to the lack of announcement concerning Rivers of Light's future. This is just heartbreaking in 16, with the fact that it was delayed for so long and now we still don't know anything about its future, and that the little cast member previews that they had, nobody was really excited about it. And this is unfortunate to me because this is something that is not based on an IP. It's an original concept. You have the entire Animal Kingdom at your disposal. So it's not like you're pigeonholed into one minute area that you're trying to work with. I mean, you literally have millions of ideas at hand. So the fact that they can't make this show work for whatever reason is very disheartening to me, because it just goes to show that if original concepts aren't going to do well, they're going to default back to IPs.
Yep, it'll be a Zootopia nighttime show this time next year.
A Zootopia I can take. I'm more worried it's going to be like, you know, not Kristoff, what's the Sven's nighttime spectacular?
Don't put that out there. My chatty actually also goes to a non-announcement. I kind of mentioned this earlier. The award I gave to reached its expiration date 2 years ago was the Main Street Electrical Parade. And now it's gone from Walt Disney World. Okay, so I got my wish, yay. They realize it's old and outdated. But there's so far no word whatsoever that Magic Kingdom is going to have a nighttime parade at all anytime in the near future. And that kind of bothers me a little bit, because I think a nighttime parade is one of maybe the three things that makes, one of the top three things that makes Disney World what it is. I mean, that's a really big statement, I realize, and I don't necessarily, like, the nighttime parades are not why I go to Disney World. It's not necessarily my thing. But when you think of the things that set Disney World apart from all the other parks in the world, I think its history of having a nighttime parade is one of those things. Like, families think of those when they plan their trip. And it just doesn't have a nighttime parade right now, and there's no word that it is going to have one. I just find that really strange.
Very true. It is disheartening. And very disheartening to see those tweets originally when people were still lining up for a nighttime parade that didn't exist.
No, that was worth it. That was worth taking the parade away just to get that. I wonder if that still happens.
I hope so.
Maybe not in the numbers that it did.
Yeah.
Next category is the biggest disappointment. Things that occurred, happened, were taken away, were added. I mean, this could fall in any number of categories. It's just things that they just let you down. And Jeremy, I'm going to ask you what your biggest disappointment was. This, to whom will you be awarding the golden teacup for sucking it up?
My biggest disappointment has actually already been mentioned, and that was I cheated like Derek did earlier with the Gardens of the Galaxy overlay. I was just disappointed that Disney stooped that low to reach that base of a fan. I don't know. It just was... I don't have anything against Marvel. I don't have anything against the movie itself. I think Marvel should come to the parks. I just think it should come in its own unique way. It shouldn't just start infringing upon things. And I think that it's a slippery slope.
Who do you think you are, Marvel?
Well, to be honest, I felt the same way about Frozen Ever After. I'm all about it coming to the park. But to just be crammed into a 30-year-old attraction. Anyway, I digress. My biggest disappointment was, as much fun as we've made of this, wait, I did not word that correctly, as badly as we have teased this thing on our show, I legit was excited when they first announced the Disney Springs Christmas Tree Trail. I remember they said 15 trees. I was like, that's so many. And they're going to be decorated to some of my favorite films. And they're going to be 10 feet tall and just gorgeous, and I'm gonna love looking at them. And man, what a bait and switch.
Did they advertise 10 feet tall? There's near one of them trees is 10 feet tall.
No, they didn't. But in my mind, I'm like, they have to be, right?
Yeah, you're thinking these are gonna be decent sized, like big trees.
And they were not.
No. Incinerated.
That I would watch that. I would make, if I didn't make a special trip for Rivers of Light, as you claim, but I would make a special trip if they incinerated the tree trail.
My award for the biggest disappointment goes to the fireworks / projection shows at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I honestly, after seeing, like I said, Symphony in the Stars with Derek back in April, and then when I finally saw the, what's this one called? The Star Wars one?
A Galactic Spectacular.
Yeah. I was I was disappointed. We weren't standing in the place with the best audio quality, but I just found it to be just a hodgepodge of... to take what Derek said about the stage show and just apply that to projections, and that's what it was. Ooh, Darth Maul, Darth Vader, Princess Leia. It's just like, here they are. And kind of, they didn't make really good use of the like the environmental projection aspect of it. It was just more or less like badly cropped video footage of these characters saying things and doing things. There's no story. There was no theme. There was no flow. The fireworks are on the right of the thing. So where you stand further back, there's trees in the way. Some of the buildings just have a hot, like an ad hoc kind of throw a canvas over it so that it makes sense with the projections. I don't know. Nowhere near as good as just the fireworks show was, in my opinion. And I haven't seen Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam yet. Probably won't. But the reviews make me think it's also just kind of eh. And so those things, just because of what could be there, are disappointments to me.
I hadn't even thought of those, but I agree with everything you said. And I think the worst part for me is this seems like the new thing now. Like, Disney's like, look, we've brought projection shows to Hollywood studios. We can project on the Chinese theater. And for the next few years, every show is going to be this.
They're going to do it on Spaceship Earth for next Illuminations. Watch it.
Oh, my word.
I think Spaceship Earth's too far away.
Yeah, well, they just turned it into the Death Star a few weeks ago.
This is true. And Mike Wazowski before that.
They're testing it out.
Don't forget when it was Mike Wazowski.
Oh, who can?
Our next award looks at the best change in Walt Disney World in 2016. My award for the best change goes to Main Street Electrical Parade leaving. However, it is a bittersweet award because nothing replaced it. So it's hard. It'd be a much more celebrated award on my behalf had a new nighttime parade taken over, but it didn't. So it is what it is. But I think it was a good thing that the Main Street Electrical Parade left, simply because, as Derek has said, previously, it was stale. And hopefully this opens the door that a new nighttime parade will come very early in 2017.
That'd be great. My pick for best change goes to an attraction that I started to resent several years ago, and I no longer resent it. In fact, I quite enjoy it. And I'm talking about Soarin'. Soarin' Around the World has its naysayers. I love it. I think it's great. The addition of the third track has done wonders for the length of that queue. I am all on board. Two thumbs up for every change they made to Soarin'. The new smells are great. I just wish the rest of Future World would get this kind of love.
Like computer-generated Taj Mahals?
I understand that there's a lot of CGI in it. It really doesn't bother me just because I grew to hate that old version. And now I don't have to wait as long. There are some really pretty scenes, like the Eiffel Tower. Love that scene. Love seeing Spaceship Earth at the end.
Well, while Soarin' is on the stage, I'm going to go ahead and give them the worst change, Chatty, from me as well. Because
drama.
I do not like the CGI, and I think that it is cheap and that they took the shortcut. And if you're going to do it that, then don't do it at all.
I mean, I do hate how curved it is. We sat on the very end of the row on our last trip, and oh my word, it looked like a boomerang up on that screen. It was so curved.
Well, Jeremy's already given his worst change. My best change is the FastPass Plus enhancements, additions. I don't know what you really call them.
No, that's a great pick.
Yeah, I didn't like... I mean, let me say this. I didn't like the FastPass Plus system but with the understanding that it was growing and changing. And some of the changes they have brought are welcome. It's easier to change. It's easier to search for open times. It's, you know, you can actually keep adding single fast passes after you use your three. We're getting to the point to where I think it's workable. I think now, I mean, honestly, my opinion, I think we get rid of the reserve thing and you just do like classic fast passes, except all on your phone. I think that would be a lot better, but it might cause some traffic problems on the interwebs, and I don't know.
I throw my full support behind that award.
Yay.
So what's your worst change at Walt Disney World?
My worst change at Walt Disney World, I'm just going to go with the obvious and say price increases for tickets. They went to the seasonal deal. I'm not even sure. I mean, I have an annual pass, so I pay my little $40 a month and I'm good to go. But I don't know what the increases were.
I can tell you right now that July jumped from last year being $105 to this year being $124. I mean, if you get a one-day ticket, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people are getting a one-day ticket versus how many people are doing at least two or three, but yikes. My golden teacup, if you will, is going to, this is kind of a lame answer, but it's going to the Imagination Pavilion because the second floor was turned into a DVC lounge. And we've already mentioned a few times on this show how Epcot Future World needs some big changes. And the first big change they made was to take an empty area that used to be a really very Epcot-ish part of that land, of Future World. And now it's been nothing for a long time. And they finally decided to do something. And they turned it into a lounge that's only available to DVC members and their friends. Like, come on. We don't need another lounge. Another private lounge. Do something useful with that space.
With a little communion cup fountain drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That does not make Future World better.
Mm-mm. Move forward. Mean be better together.
And that takes us to our next award, which is the best Disney moment. But we're talking about anything that's not related to Walt Disney World. So we've been talking about Walt Disney World exclusively up until now. But what about the films or the other parks or the Walt Disney Company as a whole? What was the best Disney moment this year?
This is like the part at the Oscars where they have the foreign films and everybody has to pretend like they know what's going on, but does it really?
Director says,
my best moment outside of the Walt Disney World universe, I guess, whatever, is the release of the Beauty and the Beast live animated trailer. It was a good day because everybody, I think pretty much everybody kind of agreed that it was all positive feedback on that. There was a few naysayers, but there always is. And it also broke the record, I believe, for the most viewed film trailer in a certain amount of period, time period, whatever that was, 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah. Which is why the very same week, Disney said, we're going to do a live action Little Mermaid too.
Yes. So,
who's the dude doing the voice of Lumiere?
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah. He's gonna work on my nerves, I can just tell. It was a really bad French accent.
The girl!
It's a girl! I mean, that was probably better.
I thought that was pretty good.
There are other French actors that could give a legitimate French accent.
Like the guy from Perfect Strangers?
Like the guy from Rogue One, except he's Spanish.
His name is Diego.
I know. I just remembered that. The whole time I was like, he sounds like a Frenchman, but he was Spanish.
You know who could have done it? And this would have been a little gender bender, but that's all right. It could have been Celine Dion.
It could have been Borat.
Yeah.
Borat's
that
would have
been
French.
Better.
No, but he's really good with accents.
I know, but his accent would be better than that one.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it's really bad.
He played a Frenchman in Hugo. Remember Hugo?
That is true. Yeah, that was a good
movie. This legitimately sounds like legitimate's an odd word to use there. It sounds like a high school play and a guy trying to do a French accent. We'll see. It still seems like it's going to wear on me a little bit. My best moment not related to Walt Disney World award goes to, and I realize that this has a heavy presence in the parks, so forgive me, but it's in the nature of the films, okay? And it is just very simply Star Wars. I mean, with Episode 7, Rogue One, I feel like, and I think the whole Star Wars community agrees, that new life has been breathed into the franchise. And now listen, because people were very nervous about Disney taking it. People were very nervous about, you know, different writers and different ideas. People were very nervous about some of the announcements that were made during the making of Rogue One, as far as, you know, doing different cuts on a lot of scenes and doing this and doing that. I think that there was just so much coming into this after the awful, awful prequels, that this just kind of, like I said, breathed new life into that franchise and certainly gives it wings for many, many, many years to come.
For sure. It kind of makes me proud to be a Disney fan when people who don't necessarily love Disney but love Star Wars are like, okay, they did a good job.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's right, they did. My answer is also film related. We're going to go back to March for this one. The release of Zootopia. After last year, when Pixar released Inside Out, one of my favorite animated films ever, I was like, you know, I don't know if the Walt Disney Studios can match that. And I don't know if they quite match Inside Out. It's just a very different film. But I loved it so much. And, you know, at the end of every year, I make a top 10 list of the movies I saw that year. And I haven't made it yet, but I really think Zootopia is going to crack the top 4 or 5. Looking back, it's just still one of the ones I think about the most because it just wowed me. It made me laugh. It had a great story. It had a great message. Yeah, 2 thumbs up to that movie. And it was a great moment for the Disney company.
You know, I love the message as well. Every time I go to the Chinese buffet, I'm singing Try Everything.
You're such a moron.
That's just what when she says try everything, I'm thinking about ethnic food. Well, we have a pattern here on the Chatties. After we offer you the best of something, we give an award to the worst of something so that they don't feel left out and everyone feels special. Our next award goes to the worst Disney moment not related to Walt Disney World. The worst Disney moment not related to Walt Disney World. Derek, what did you hate this year?
I hated with a passion. I didn't even finish it. It was so bad. The Shanghai Disneyland grand opening TV special so beyond annoying. Like, I was excited. I'm like, who gets to be there for a grand opening, at least like through a TV screen, you know? And I thought it was going to be so cool. And they played music forever. And then when they finally started like the action where people were climbing the castle, that annoying girl, and it wasn't her fault, Disney gave her a script clearly, but she narrated every single thing that happened. And I like I said, I couldn't finish it. It was such a disappointment.
Oh.
Yeah. Not a win for Disney.
On the not win category, which ironically this one wins in my book, is the BFG, the Big Friendly Giant.
Did you see it?
I saw about 10 minutes of it before I decided it was not for me.
Oh, no.
I feel like people didn't like it. I feel like it, I mean, this was like the second of these kind of movies Disney has tried to make happen, and it's not happening. I think they should just abandon this practice altogether. Nobody wants the weird hybrid between like live action and animation that they're, you know, Christmas Carol-esque from, you know, the Jim Carrey, 10, 11 years ago. It's just not happening, and I feel like they need to stop making it happen. I think the promising part of this was that Steven Spielberg was working on it, and I feel like they didn't give it enough credit and enough time and enough, I don't know. Nobody really knew what it was. And I think it just kind of came on the scene and went off the scene really quickly.
It really did. And it's a shame because not only Steven Spielberg, I mean, this movie had everything going for it. John Williams did the music. Roald Dahl is one of my favorite childhood authors. And those three things combined still couldn't work its magic for Disney.
Just did not catch.
Yeah. Are we giving golden teacups to these as well? It doesn't really seem fair to give the same award to the best and worst.
Yes, but these teacups are golden because we have peed on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were originally white plastic.
Yes. For me, the worst thing was trying to suffer through that god-awful Disney Parks special thing that was on TV that welcoming the holidays. And why they try to be so relevant? I mean, we harped on this a couple weeks ago, but just get people to sing good Christmas songs and good Disney songs and just show us the parks and we'll be happy. We don't have to have Garth Brooks try and sing his latest hit or Wu-Tang Clan or whoever that was try and sing their top 20 hit, whatever. I'm Going Back to Florida or whatever it was. I forget. Anyways, I don't need Kelly Clarkson to sing Since You've Been Gone. I need her to sing I'll Be Home for Christmas and and A Whole New
What
World.
Happened to the good Disney Christmas? You remember the old ones with the ice skating and you had like Christy Yamaguchi doing a little something in the middle and the Seven Dwarfs came out and skated? That was good stuff.
True that.
So basically what Jeremy and I are saying are stop making crappy TV specials, please. Don't waste airtime.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, as has been made evident on the show, a lot has happened this year. There have been some great moments, some pretty bad moments, some surprises, some disappointments, all sorts of huge and small things. But as we end this award show, the third annual Chatties, we want to give awards to some personal moments. And this award goes to our favorite personal Disney moment this year. So let's send it over to Matt. What was your favorite Disney moment, Matt?
You know, mine happened just last week. And that was taking our little girl, Anna, to Epcot. First of all, she did really well with Santa Claus, which is a new thing. The first year she was less than a month old and she was just sleeping. Last year, she cried the whole time and would not sit with Santa Claus by himself. This year, she was not only excited to see Santa Claus, but went right to him, sat on his lap, smiled a few times. It was just precious. But that was not it. That was just the prep for the moment. And it was as we were leaving Epcot, Jessica happened to look over and see that Daisy was meeting there at the front where she kind of normally meets, to the left as you're leaving, there next to the tombstones or whatever they are. Leave a legacy monument things. And there was not a very long line for Daisy at all, maybe two or three people. So we went over there and said, hey, let's get in line for Daisy. Because Anna's been saying Daisy a lot. Like she knows Daisy on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and she just latched on to Daisy for some reason. And so we said, let's go see Daisy. And she was just, first of all, just like, couldn't wait. You know, was trying to get out of Jessica's arms to go to her. Now, understand that to this point, she has either been scared of the characters or she has wanted very limited, you know, interaction. She wants us to hold her. You know, she might give him a high five or something if we say, hey, give him a high five or whatever. But other than that, she's, you know, stuck in Jessica's neck, you know, just kind of shy and turning away. She could not wait to get down to see Daisy. And as soon as we put her down, it was that Disney moment that you all wait for when she just ran to Daisy, gave her a big old hug, gave her a five, and we were just completely in that moment. We weren't even in the picture anymore, and that was a good thing at this moment, taking pictures. I mean, she was just all about Daisy, and it was, you know, it's the first time that's happened with a Disney character, and it was magical.
I saw the pictures Jessica posted on Instagram, and they were absolutely adorable. In fact, maybe we can put those on the Twitter.
Yeah, we can. They were... I mean, it was just, it's that moment that you wait to happen for with a character.
I haven't seen these, but I'm sure they're amazing because your daughter has the best facial expressions of any child. Whether she's happy or sad or angry or whatever, it shows on her face.
Yep.
I guess I could narrow it down to one moment, but I'm just really thankful for Just all the memories I've been able to make thanks to my annual pass. I never thought I would be an annual pass holder to Disney World because I've lived in Nashville ever since the first time I went. And I just didn't think it would really be feasible for me. And it was the best decision I made. And just being able to, like, I don't know, even parking, you know, with my annual pass, I feel so like, I have an annual pass, you know, when you're there as often as I was this year, like, I really was able to do things that I'd never done before because it's like, hey, why not? You know, I've ridden Space Mountain a billion times. I don't need to ride it today. I can just walk around, enjoy the atmosphere. I met lots of new people this year through having an annual pass and through the podcast and everything. And it was just really nice to experience Disney World in a new way. Because after you go as many times as the three of us have gone, you almost think, I mean, there's nothing new to do or to experience. And that wasn't the case at all. I found a whole new appreciation for my favorite place in the world. And so I'll always look back on 2016 and remember those things and look back at them as special things that happened. So that was my very broad favorite Disney moment.
2016 was a difficult year for me on a Disney level because it's the first year since we've become hardcore fans that I have not been to a park at all, and that's mainly just because of some personal changes in my life and readjusting some things, and just knowing I knew ahead of time I'd had to take a little bit of a break from the parks, and hopefully 2017 will break that spell. But that being said, my favorite moments are each and every week that I get together with you two and record this podcast.
No,
it really is.
I'm crying.
It really is. In fact, I mean, each and every week, I enjoy the fact that we come together and talk about Disney. And there have been some weeks in particular that we have recorded shows that I have just been so proud of and just over the moon. And I've genuinely listened to them 3 and 4 times in the week that follows. And I laugh and I smile each and every time because I'm not only is it a joy to discuss Disney with our friends and to have people actually listen, but it's a fun time as well. So the fact that our joy can bring joy to other people, it still amazes me.
Hmm. Do you have a favorite episode that we recorded this year?
I got to say, the game episode that we did stands out in my mind as one of the best. I think I laughed the whole time that we recorded it, and I laughed every time that I listened to it. Some of the things that were said, that it was just great. Good times.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. We had a few listeners tell us that they want to see more of that. So in the new year, we'll definitely have to record another All Games episode and maybe get some listeners in on the action next time. Who knows?
Mm. I enjoyed the 100th episode a lot. More or less listening to it after all the little greetings and things were put in. But all that put together was a fun show. Hearing and thinking about, you know, from our first trip in 2007 to that point, how we've all grown as people and Disney Parks fans, and how this has become a thing, and there are people that actually listen, and people that, you know, when you have a catchphrase that and people, I'm just speaking for myself. It was my sister and brother-in-law who know it too, but when people actually, you know, pick up on something you say, and that's like your thing, and other people know it, that's amazing to me.
Agreed. Those are probably my two favorites as well. Off the top of my head, I also enjoyed talking to Jamie from Voices of Liberty, just because, you know, we're such huge fans on this show. And he just seemed like, you know, down-to-earth guy, and we had a good talk with him. But I'm sure if I look back, there are others that I really enjoyed. But
anyway. I loved when we had Ed Asner on the show.
It was Ed O'Neill, not Ed.
Oh, Ed O'Neill.
I was like, I was not here for that one.
Ed O'Neill. Ed Asner. Yes.
You know what? Actually, I enjoyed that one too, talking to Brian about him taking his grandma's. That was fun.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was a great answer. Thank you for ending. You segued perfectly into a nice little finale there, talking about what a good year it's been. So thankful for all of our listeners. I'm thankful for you guys, of course. So yeah, I think that's a good way to wrap up 2016. And listeners, we look forward to seeing you in the new year. Until then, be sure to go find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and send your emails to comments@madchatters.net. Maybe while you're online, go over to iTunes and leave a review. That it's definitely an easy way you can help us out. We love you. See you next year.
Hey, we're going to raise our glasses as we do at the end of the chatties each year. Well, starting now. And make a toast to 2017. Here's to staying positive and testing negative. And take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye.
And here to present our first award is Mad Chatter Matt.
Hey there. I'm sorry, what am I doing? I was kind of zoned out just for a second. And I hear my name. I'm given the first award.
Read the cue cards, Matt.
Oh, sorry. The teleprompter is broken. San Francisco. Go. No, that's it.
You have to read it, though, like what the celebrities do. In 2016, we found that the world was...
Oh, insert horrible joke.